Thank you for joining today's podcast. First, I am not Tammy Butler. I am actually Clary Butler Jr., and I am Tammy's brother. She's given me the opportunity to share some words of inspiration and hope from the Word of God today with you all on her behalf, but she's also given me the opportunity, unbeknownst to her, to offer a very happy birthday. Today is her birthday, and we're all excited for the work that she's doing in ministry and in the community with her business efforts and so many other incredible things that she's doing according to God's will. And so again, we want to say to her, happy birthday, and thank you for the opportunity to share some words as we continue this series entitled One Another. There are 59 one another's or one another phrases in the Bible that are an imperative from God regarding how we should interact with our Christian brothers and sisters. And our non-believing friends and our enemies and our neighbors, our family, everyone in essence. And so the purpose of this series, as Tammy has been articulating gracefully for the past couple of weeks, I've been paying attention from my seat in Chicago. The purpose of the series is to go through scripture and evaluate a few of the one another phrases in order to determine how God desires for us to live in this present age. And so thank you for tuning in. And if you've been following along, you know that there are a number of one another phrases, 59 in fact, such as wash one another's feet or live in harmony with one another. I was supposed to remember some of these one another phrases. Greet one another with a holy kiss. That's a popular one. Wait for one another. Carry one another's burdens. Be peace with one another. Forgive one another. We know the scriptures that have been so eloquently put in the Gospels and in other places that implore us to love one another. And so there are 59 of those. Today we're going to continue that one another series with a challenge. And the challenge for today is to accept one another. Accept one another. The passages of scripture that we're going to use to make our case, one is going to come from the Gospel according to Luke, the 10th chapter, the 33rd and the 37th verses. We're just going to pull two verses out of there. And then the second and last will come from Romans, the 15th chapter and the 7th verse. So you've got two passages of scripture there, Luke 10, 33 and 37, and then Romans 15 and 7. Let me read the scripture and verse there in Luke first. But a certain Samaritan, it says, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. He that showed mercy on him, one version says, Jesus said unto them, go and do likewise. In other words, go and do as the Samaritan did. And we know that that is the ending verses for what we all know as the parable of the Good Samaritan. So we'll dig into that in just a few minutes. But then Romans, the 15th chapter, and the 7th verse says, and this is the central portion of the subject. This is the main part of the subject, accept one another. Romans 15 and 7, Paul says, accept one another as Christ accepted you. Accept one another as Christ accepted you. I know it's customary for Tammy to begin with prayer. And so that's what I'm going to do. I guess I should say Elder Butler Robinson to begin with prayer. And so I want to do that now as well. Would you bow your heads wherever you're listening from? Dear God, as we open up your instructions, your guide, your tool of comfort, as we open up your words, we pray that the guide will guide, the tools will heal, and your word will inspire. This is our request now in Jesus' name. Amen. So many of you are aware of how the parable of the Good Samaritan, or what we call the Good Samaritan, you are aware of how that starts. It starts with a lawyer coming to Jesus and saying, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus responds by saying, well, what does the law say? How do you understand what is written in the law of Moses, which was the governing law at the time? And the lawyer responds by saying, we are supposed to love God with all of our hearts and mind and our strength, and we're supposed to love our neighbors as ourselves. But the lawyer said, but who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? Now, and I'm not sure if this was a literal question where the lawyer may have been talking about the fact that he had no physical neighbor, no one next to him. But certainly we understand through the words of God that there is more to a neighbor than just physical proximity. The lawyer's question and answers were rooted in Deuteronomy, I believe it's the 6th chapter and the 5th verse, and then also again in Leviticus around about the 19th chapter, where the Jews interpret neighbor to mean fellow Jew. And so perhaps the lawyer was hoping for Jesus to affirm what he already believed, that that the term neighbor must mean caring exclusively for other Jews. In other words, the lawyer was potentially opining for confirmation to only accept people like him. And of course, Jesus, with his wisdom, godly wisdom, responds with the parable of the Good Samaritan. And in this story, a man was traveling on the Jericho Road. So some people will say this is how the story actually begins, but it begins with the lawyer questioning, because absent the lawyer questioning Jesus, I don't know if we get the story of the Good Samaritan. Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan by starting it saying that there was a man traveling on the Jericho Road, which is an old meandering road. And this man who was nameless was beaten, he was stripped, and he was left for dead by robbers. They took his stuff. They took his stuff. Now, I find it interesting that if we fast forward, the Samaritan has a title, has a characteristic, good, at the end of this. You'll hear a little bit about some church folks, the Levites and the priests, etc. And then you're even going to hear about a robber. Actually, I just told you about the robber. But the person who is marginalized doesn't even have a name. The person that was marginalized, that was left on the side of this meandering road to die, that person, Jesus doesn't give him a name. But I can almost believe with all of my heart that he will have a name in the afterlife. We may not know his name on this side, but I find it hard to believe that we will not know that man's name that almost didn't make it. And so you know the story, a priest and a Levite, they passed by, but neither stopped to render aid. Then a Samaritan passed by. That Samaritan saw the man, cared for him. He ensured that the man's physical needs were fully taken care of. And according to the words of Jesus, the Samaritan best modeled how we're supposed to love our neighbor. This story would have been scandalous to the first century Jews. Jews and Samaritans hated one another. They were enemies, in fact. The story also challenged the morality of the Jews and the religious leaders, because the Samaritan, the hero of Jesus' parable, was of the race the Jews despised. They were the lower class. Accept one another is the title. That's the one another of the 59 one another that we're digging in today. Jesus makes the point that loving our neighbor should transcend all racial and cultural barriers. He doesn't say it that way, but he makes that point, that we're supposed to love God and then love our neighbor the same way that we love ourselves. Jesus challenges Jews, God's chosen people, the folks that had travailed through the wilderness, towards the promised land, through the Red Sea, through the river of Jordan, God's chosen people, Jesus challenges with that simple story, the Good Samaritan. He challenged them by allowing the racial minority to become the hero. It's sort of like what happened with Black Panther. now the minority, for the first time that I'm aware of, perhaps the first time ever, becomes the hero, and everybody goes to the box office to see it. Back when we can go to the movies before sheltering in place and global pandemics and wearing a mask or not wearing a mask, etc., etc., we could go to the movies. Some of us went to the movies. And so now Black Panther is the hero. And that's what's happening here. This outcast becomes the hero. And so the authority has a problem with this. The lawyer hoped he could fulfill the command to love his neighbor by caring exclusively for Jews. But Jesus' story demonstrated that love for our neighbor should transcend racial, national, social, economic boundaries, ethnic boundaries, religious boundaries. We should love our neighbor even if we do not agree with our neighbor. Jesus used the Good Samaritan parable to reshape our worldview of everyone that was listening. Love one another. But because you've already done love one another, you started the 59 one another's. I don't think we'll go through all 59 of them, but we started that with love one another. So now we've got to talk about acceptance. Accept one another. And so the story of the Good Samaritan is a Christian call to action. And so I have three call to action points, because that's the way we often categorize things for the purposes of learning. But the best way for you to really know that you have it is if you took the example that's written in Scripture and the words that I'm trying delicately to share, if you took those things and you acted on it, you taught it to the rest of the world. Nevertheless, for the purposes of us all learning from one another, here's categorical point number one. Acceptance requires compassion. The priest and the Levite may have felt compassion for the man on the road, but they did nothing to show that compassion. If you're in a relationship, you can say that you love the other person, but at a certain point, you have to show that you love that person. If you have children, it is one thing for you to tell them that you adore them and that you care for them, but you must also show that. Action is necessitated by true compassion here. And it was almost as if the Levite and the priest, two churchmen, the religious Jews, it was almost as if they didn't even see the wayward man. The Samaritan, though, not only felt compassion, but physically helped the victim, the marginalized, and in this case, the oppressed, the one who was left for dead. When Christians feel compassion for the suffering and marginalized, but do nothing, they're acting more like the Levite and the priest. I'm not here to necessarily condemn them. I am categorizing this in point number one. Call to action number one. According to Jesus, Christians are called to behave differently. While some tweet about their sadness for marginalized groups, believers, true believers, those that enact the words of Jesus, they move in pursuit of the well-being of the suffering. I have to do something about this. I can't just see it on the news. I can't just say thoughts and prayers. I have to do something if I'm showing true acceptance. Now, I don't have to agree with a particular type of behavior in order to accept one another. If there's something that's broken, let me be a part of the healing mechanisms. Let me be a part of a system that makes people whole, not one that continues to show disparate treatment for one group versus another. It's remarked that the relationship between whites and blacks in America, even within the church, is similar to that between Jews and the Samaritans of the first century. Now, it is a different thing today, and I have been to the Middle East on several occasions to actually see with my eyes and with my experience how Jews and Palestinians interact with one another now, it is in some cases an amicable situation, but in the overwhelming majority of cases, unfortunately, they have not accepted one another. No more so than many in America. Dr. King said when he was alive 60 years ago, the most divided hour in America is 11 a.m. on Sunday morning. What a sad commentary. But the Good Samaritan story challenges us to move beyond the us and them, you know, as if this is a competition or a race to see who can accumulate the most wealth and the most health and the most prosperity. This mentality that Christ is trying to instill is one that suggests that we should have an all for one in Christ type of ideal. But that requires that we accept one another. Now, some people refuse to believe Jesus spoke directly to ethnic and racial conflict of today, but God's word is a living word for yesterday and for all time. And when I was raised, I was taught every word of God is right. And then they used to say this poetically and musically, hallelujah to his name. Call to action number two, acceptance requires action. So the first point is acceptance requires compassion, and now acceptance requires action. And as we learn in this story of the Good Samaritan, it's not enough to just see the other. We all must act out of compassion and love, but the Christian word for this is charity, where we get charitable from, which means that you can't just say that you love, but as I said earlier, you actually have to show love. That's what charity is. It's love in action. And all too often, the church fails to understand the truth of Jesus' words. To truly love our neighbors as the Samaritan, Christians need compassion to drive us to Christ-exalting action. Words are not enough, but please start with the words, because out of the abundance of the heart, we speak. But words are not enough. Every Christ follower should ask the question when viewing a situation of marginalization, how can I help? What do I have to do so that this situation is better when I leave than it was when I came? Accept one another. The Jew and the Samaritan, the Israeli and the Palestinian, the black, the white, the rich, the poor, the male, the female. Acceptance is what is being called for by the Almighty God. Acceptance. The Republican and the Democrat, the liberal and the conservative. Not just tolerance, but love in action. Love in action. And if you have not been introduced to Jesus, before I get to call to action point number three, let me just say Jesus was not one of those folks that just preached and never lived the example, but Jesus also showed the true idea of what it means to be the ultimate Good Samaritan. Jesus stepped outside of eternal time and became a man. He put on human flesh because we, our ancestors and our descendants, we needed somebody to step up and take the consequence for the wages of our sins. We needed somebody to do that. And God sent his son. You know the rest of the story. And because of him, I can say glory. And so here's the final call to action. Acceptance requires traction. It's not good enough just to see the marginalized, whoever they may be, socioeconomically or ethnically or racially. Oftentimes people categorize an ethnicity based on a person's ancestry. Where is this person ethnically, but then racially is often seen not just as, in my case, from Africa, but racially I would be African American, in so much to say that I was born in America and of the racial social context, the construct of race, African American, Asian American, Latinx, Caucasian American, etc., then I would fit in that category as it relates to race. But nevertheless, whether it's racially or ethnically or socially or economically or religiously or whatever, the call is to accept. And true acceptance requires progress of love. Progress. Not just saying, oh my gosh, you are hurt and I want to do something to help, but it's actually getting in and helping. Jesus staying true to who God purposed for him, reached out in a special way to help Jews with this particular story, but I believe it helps us today as well. I want to conclude by saying on her birthday, her being my sister, and again, if you just kind of skipped forward and you weren't with us at the beginning of this podcast, I am Clary Butler Jr., and my sister, Tammy Butler, she usually gives this podcast. This, in fact, is her podcast of inspiration and hope through the Word of God, and she asked me to sit in for her, and so I'm saying happy birthday to her, which is the reason why I am sitting in, but I'm also saying thank you, and so I want to tell just a quick little story as I conclude Tammy's podcast. And that is Elder Robinson, Elder Butler Robinson's podcast. And so the story goes like this. I went to law school over a decade ago now. And so I am a lawyer. I graduated from Indiana University School of Law. Through the prayers and support of so many people in my community, I'm the first person in my family to have gone to law school and graduated from law school. But I could not have done it without them. But there was one missing piece, and that was, as an unmarried man, I was going to work during the day and then going to school at night, and I did not understand the discipline of preparing a meal for the family, regardless of who's preparing it. You know, a meal has to be prepared, and as an unmarried man, sometimes we don't really think about that. At least I did not think about the fact that every day, because it's a long day, I wasn't thinking that I should be nourished, basically. And so there was a young lady that saw that, you know, I didn't have better enough sense to make sure that I was nourished, going to school and going to work and doing all of that in one day for 4 years, you know, through the summers, etc. I was working for the governor of Indiana, who just passed away, and may God comfort his family. Governor Kernan, I worked for him starting as the lieutenant governor. And so I didn't know anything about nourishment and making sure that I was getting the proper fuel. And so there was a young lady that every single day she would place on my seat in the lieutenant governor's office a meal, a lunch that could carry over to dinner, so that my little 30-minute break in between the time I got off from work and the time that I walked over to the law school and started the 3-4 hour journey there, and then had to go drive all the way back to the suburbs from downtown. This young lady, every single day for 4 years, 3.5 years, she had my lunch on my chair. In so much that the governor asked if that was an expectation of mine. But certainly it wasn't. I never knew that was even possible. But here it is. And so as I fast forward the story, in the last year that I was in school, I told this young lady, I said, please, thank you. And I tried to stop her before. I said, thank you for what you've done. But I can't you know, please don't do it anymore. You've done more than enough. I've made it through school. I even got a scholarship my last year. And again, I said that I graduated with the help of my community and incredible parents and what have you. But I just want to say that that young lady saw somebody that needed help, and she didn't just talk about it. She took the step of compassion. She took the step of action, and then she made sure every day, that's traction, that's progress. Every single day, she made sure that I was nourished, and I would not be where I am today without my big sis, the MVP of all big sisters, Tammy Butler. She's incredible. She was that person that made sure. Now, again, it was compassion and then action and then traction, but she showed this because she knew that I was missing something, that I was not whole. And that's Jesus' request. To treat others the way you would desire to be treated. Let's pray. God, thank you for this space to share the word of God. And we pray now that my big sis has an incredible rest of her birthday and birthday month. We pray for those that have been dealing with a different type of issue, not necessarily marginalization, but maybe there's some other things going on socio-politically or just with their family relationships or whatever the case might be, dear God. If it has been as a result of the pandemic, we pray for your comfort and for your peace to guide them into a place of love so that they can feel your presence. And not just them, and not just for the pandemic, but every care and concern, because you said that we could cast all of them on you because you care for us. You certainly did by sending your son. And so I pray not just for them and not just for that situation, but for every situation and us too. In Jesus' name, amen.